That's a 5-1-5-5-2. Do you wear heels, do you?
I do. I actually tore two ligaments in my ankle a couple of months ago.
From wearing them?
I fell down some stairs and I was in 5-inch
heels. That would tear a few ligaments.
I was in 5-inch heels, so the landing was slightly painful. So in the moment, I'm in my training heels, which are 3 inches.
And you fell down the stairs because you were wearing heels?
No, I just fell. I just stumbled on the stairs. But the landing on 5-inch heels, yeah, it doesn't help.
Don't
so I'm currently training back up to my 5 inches, yeah.
All right, okay, fair enough. Okay, listen, Roe McDermott is
guys,
here.
We're looking issue with it though. Guys
have an issue with what?
With girls wearing heels. Like, I get so many guys telling me I'm too tall and to wear flats. It's weird.
But you're tall enough without heels, aren't
I'm
you?
5'7".
5'7", is it? Okay.
Well, yeah. So if men and their Napoleon complex.
And
you know?
I actually asked a question earlier on. Say, if you're wearing 5-inch heels, does that mean you're 5 inches taller? I just didn't even know 5-inch heels meant you're 5 inches taller.
Literally.
But anyway, so in other words, if you wore 3-inch heels, you'd be 5'10".
Yes.
Right.
That's where I'm working at the moment.
Fair enough. Okay, fair enough. Very good. By the way, Roe McDermott is here. That's the voice you hear now. She's here to talk about movies the next couple of minutes or two. Big screen this weekend. If you're not going to the National, if you're not going to the fighting down in the O2, if you're not going to Longitude, or if you're not doing anything else around the country that does be after to be in that kind of thing, you can go to your local cinema to do what?
It's actually a really good week. There's a few really good things. Dawn of the Planet of the Apes is the new blockbuster of the summer, but it's actually a really intelligent, really smart one. It's a sequel, of course, to Rise of the Planet of the Apes, which we saw a couple of years ago, which had James Franco and Andy Serkis doing his usual motion capture thing. But he plays Caesar, who is an ape who can talk and communicate. And at this stage, we come to Dawn of the Planet of the Apes and most of humanity has been wiped out by simian flu, and a few survivors are left in San Francisco being led up by Gary Oldman. But the apes are thriving in the woodlands outside of San Francisco, and they've built villages and they can talk and use sign language. They're learning how to read and write, but the humans want to get to a hydro plant that's in the woods, and they want to get power back to the city. So it becomes a thing where the humans are the reasons that the apes had to escape, and they were being tortured and experimented on in lab. So there's a real wariness and a justified wariness between the apes and the humans, and the humans are also terrified because these apes can talk and they ride horses. It's like if Nim Chimpsky, remember Project Nim, it's like if he had read a copy of Hamlet and took some horse riding lessons and had a spear. Like, it's pretty terrifying. So it's this really interesting relationship between humans and the apes, but the apes are these brilliantly really complex, fully drawn characters with real relationships. You have Caesar, who heads up all the apes and is the leader, but you also have his son who's a bit of a rebel and wants to break free. And you also have Toby Kebbell, who is the motion capture version of an ape called Koba, who's an old ally of Caesar, but was also really hurt and really damaged by the humans. So has this really, you know, desire for thirst, the thirst for vengeance, essentially, against the humans, and a real wariness. So that creates all these conflicts, which, of course, inevitably leads to a huge epic battle between men and apes and apes and apes. But it's incredible.
It's really good.
It's really intelligent.
Do you know what happened with Batman and Christopher Nolan took his hands on it? It's not the same kind of thing as, like, well, the apes movies were years ago, and now these new planet are the ones that are a bit like that. Or can I say that?
They want to go into the dark side of things, and they've gotten rid of that campiness or the romance.
And it works because of it.
But okay, it's really
intelligent. That's Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. Also Dawn on the big screen is Finding Vivian Mayer.
Yeah, this is really interesting. This is a documentary about Vivian Mayer, who was a nanny in New York in the 1950s, and was obsessed with taking photographs, would never go anywhere without her camera, but nobody cared because she's this middle-aged woman, she's a bit eccentric, nobody ever asked to see her photographs. And this boy Jeff Maloof is a historian and was looking for photographs of Chicago and randomly bought a box full of negatives at an auction and wanted to develop them and found these incredible portraits and this essentially a portrait of America. And through the people, through the rich people who were working on Saks Avenue, working and shopping on Saks Avenue, to the homeless people. And the photographs really had this touch of Diane Arbus, but more tender, you know, they really captured real people, and it wasn't grotesque, it was just capturing day-to-day life, but really beautifully. But no one had ever heard of this woman. So Jeff Maloof tracked down thousands upon thousands of photographs about this woman, and then interviewed people she had worked for and the children that she had helped to raise. But it's really interesting, she never wanted to get her photos developed. So it's this interesting relationship between art and
ego.
Okay,
the photos and the whole story is good, but what about the documentary itself about her?
It is really interesting because she's such an enigmatic character. Nobody even knows if she's from New York or she's from France, and it shows just how little interest that people take in the help, essentially. And it's a kind of a class issue that she was a woman and she was working, so no one cared about her inner thoughts and no one wanted to see
her
art.
That's that other one. So in other words, two good ones, Finding Vivian Mayer and Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. What about the small screen? In other words, DVD?
DVDs, there's only one, and of course it is is awesome. It's the Lego Movie is out, and this is just such a fun movie. It seems like it'd be such a product placement, cheap, you know, ploy to get you to buy Lego, but it's actually such a really funny, clever story.
I was exhausted by the end of it. I saw that in Dura Dial in the cinema down there, and I was knackered by
but
the end
of it. But it's hilarious.
Bang, 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 bang.
Yeah,
bang, bang.
There's a lot going on. It's about Emmett, who is this very plain Lego man, but he finds the missing piece that is going to start the revolution, because Will Ferrell plays the overlord of Legoland, and it's all about conservatism, and there's everyone follows the rules and nobody's an individual, and he's going to take that down. But he's such an average little dude that he needs a lot of help from people like Wildstyle, who's voiced by Elizabeth Banks, and Batman, obviously.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, so
all
it's
right,
actually
well, listen,
really fun.
Ro,
a lot for
good
parents,
luck, by the way, next month in San Francisco
on
the Fulbright. That's the Lego Movie, the big one. I'll give you a tiny bit from that in a second or two if I have it, but I want to give you this thing first, which is the